From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, and some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. Well, I'm embarrassed to say that in the 20 years that I've been in the Bay Area, I had never visited the Marine Mammal Center, which is in Sausalito. In fact, I'd read about it, but I really wasn't sure what it did and what it was, so I took a trip over there. I met Adam Ratner, and he's my guest today on the field trip. So, Adam, welcome to the field trip.
Hi there, Mitchell. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. So tell me this, what is the Marine Mammal Center, and what do you all do there?
So the Marine Mammal Center is a marine mammal hospital. We rescue, rehabilitate, and release any sick or hurt marine mammal found within 600 miles of California coastline, so from the top of Mendocino County to the bottom of San Luis Obispo County. So we rescue around 600 to 800 seals, sea lions, otters, dolphins. Sometimes we even take care of whales each year with the goal of trying to get them healthy and back out to the ocean.
How do you find out that an animal needs rescuing?
So with our huge rescue range of 600 miles, we actually depend on the public. So kind of people like you or the listeners, if they're walking along the beach, they see an animal in distress, something like a California sea lion with a balloon string caught around its neck. What they can do is they can get on the phone, they can call our 24-hour hotline, report the animal, and we'll get a team of volunteers ready and out to the animal to rescue it. But every animal we get is essentially because of someone in the public calling us and letting us know about it.
What's your position over there?
So I'm part of the education department. So I'm the visitor programs coordinator. So I do a lot of the classes and teaching for school groups and for public. I help manage all the day-to-day kind of visitor and volunteer interactions. And then I also help do a lot of stuff with the different displays that we have. But in my spare time, I'm actually one of the 1,000 volunteers that helps take care of the animals as well.
1,000? Well, I know that there is a big volunteer program. Talk a bit about that.
Of course. We rely on volunteers. They do almost everything for us, everything from the feedings and the cleanings to the basic medical procedures to the rescues and releases to the education work. We've got 1,000 of them. They start at age 15, and they go up to age 95. We don't even cut it off at 95. We just haven't had any 96-year-old sign-ups yet.
So people who want to volunteer would just call up, and I guess there's some kind of an orientation program, and then little by little they can get involved with rescuing these animals with you.
Exactly. So there's an orientation meeting that we hold, and we list all of the orientation dates on our website, which is marinemammalcenter.org.
Well, now, I went on the little tour that you led yesterday. There were maybe, what, 12 or 15 people?
Yeah, approximately.
And it lasted an hour. You showed us around. Describe the facilities a little bit for people who have never been there.
So we've been around for over 36 years at this point, but in 2009 we completed a big remodeling, so the center is very different from what it used to be, and we now have this state-of-the-art hospital and visitor experience center that people can come and see. So they can come in, they can see some of the animals that we're taking care of, they can look into different rooms and see our veterinarians and our volunteers working to get the animals better, looking into places like the fish kitchen or the laboratory. And there's great exhibitry all around to really showcase the types of animals we rescue, why we have to rescue them, and all the ways that people can actually help get these animals better or keep them safe in the first place.
Where does your funding come from?
We're a nonprofit, so it comes from just donations, membership, tour revenue, so people that go on the docent-led tours like you did yesterday. All of it goes to helping us buy food and medicine for the animals. We really do depend on the general public for all the support.
What kind of food do you feed to sick seals? And I know a little bit from what you talked about yesterday, they eat fish, but explain how that works.
So what we feed the animals at the hospital is mostly herring. and we have our herring actually sent in frozen from British Columbia and further up north where it's still sustainable. And that way we're making sure we don't hurt the oceans at the same time as trying to take care of these animals. Because the animals at our hospital do need lots of food and nutrients to get better. And on a busy day, we could feed over 1,000 pounds of fish to our animals.
That's a lot of fish.
It is a lot of fish. It's one of the big expenses, too. So it's $1 a pound. And in a busy year, we could go up to around 90,000 pounds of fish that we have to feed our sick and injured patients.
Wow. So although the tours are free, contributions are certainly welcome. And the docent-led tours are moderately priced, aren't they?
Yeah, so it just depends on the visitor's interest level, the time that they have to visit, but there are a lot of different ways you can experience the center. So my preference and what I think is the most comprehensive is the docent-led tour. And that's a one-hour guided tour around the hospital with one of our educators. You have the ability to ask questions, you hear about what's happening during that day, kind of play-by-play commentary. And also get the chance to actually see and do different demonstrations, how we rescue animals, how we feed the animals. But you can also do an audio tour, so you can listen to the voices of our veterinarians and volunteers. Both the audio tour and docent-led tours have a small fee attached, $7 for adults, $5 for seniors and children. Or you have the option to do a self-guided visit, where you walk around on your own. We have docents stationed at different areas to answer questions, and you have kind of a little map that you take around to help guide you.
Well, it's also in a very lovely setting, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard to argue once you come to the Marine Mammal Center with what you get to see. We're right in the Marin Headlands, and we're just up the hill from Rodeo Beach, so a beautiful chance to kind of do both a beach day and visit the hospital at the same time.
Yeah, so people could go to the beach or they could go for a hike and visit the center and really have a fabulous day. You have a nice gift shop there?
We do. We have a great gift shop, and all of the revenue that comes from the purchases goes directly to helping the animals. So a chance to get that little memento or a t-shirt, whatever you want, at the same time as helping all these animals.
Now, you also have school programs and tours, I'm sure, for school children.
Most definitely. It's one of the biggest parts of our mission. So besides taking care of the animals and doing the rehabilitation and research into the diseases, it is all about education, getting people aware of the different types of animals that are out there, how they're getting sick. And last year, for example, we taught around 45,000 school children on site, and then we have an outreach program that taught an additional 10,000 plus students as well. So it's really important that we get the word out to students, to adults, to families, of the work that we do and the ways they can help.
Now, is the outreach the whale bus?
It is the whale bus. So we have two vehicles, actually, both deemed the whale bus, where we're able to actually take out things like pelts and skulls and different samples and turn a classroom or a library into essentially a marine mammal museum. So it's a great opportunity for those that can't make it out to our center to still see all of these different things and have that great experience.
Well, I was fascinated with the pelt of a sea otter. I love sea otters, and you showed one yesterday on the tour. Talk a little bit about that.
Of course. So on our tours, one of the things that we really love to utilize are things like skulls and pelts from animals that sadly died naturally. And that way people can have the chance to really see up close and feel what makes these animals so special and so different. The sea otter is kind of in a league of its own, though. So the sea otter is the furriest animal in the entire world. In 1 square inch, which is about the size of a quarter, they have 1 million hairs, which is around 10 times what a normal person has on the top of their head. So pretty amazing.
And that's just to keep them warm in the water because they don't have blubber, is that it?
Exactly. So the seals, sea lions, whales, dolphins, they all have this thick layer of fat called blubber to keep them warm. The sea otters don't, though, so they need that thick fur coat instead.
So tell me about the sea lions in the city at Pier 39.
So not only do we have the opportunities for you to come here and really see the center, see the animals we're taking care of, you've got the whale bus where we go out to them, but we're really lucky in San Francisco and the Bay Area. We have Pier 39, which is a great spot where wild sea lions will come and haul out. And we do offer one-hour guided nature or naturalist walks out along the pier where we'll be able to tell the stories of the sea lions, the history of Pier 39. So just another option in terms of education that we offer anywhere from school kids up to adults.
Well, not to be morbid, but you did mention earlier that some of the animals die, and I guess there are some of them that you can't save, but when they do die, you have a program there to find out what they died from and see how you can fix that.
Yeah, so the sad reality is just like at a human hospital, sometimes the patients do pass away. Either they have something you simply can't treat, something like cancer, or they just don't get help in time. We don't find out about them. But it is a really important part of the work to understand why an animal died and learn from death. So here at the center, we do a necropsy or an animal autopsy on every patient that passes away. It is something that actually the public has a chance to observe if they're interested. And our veterinarians will identify the cause of death, will take samples from the animal, and be able to learn a little bit more. And that way we can help all the other animals that are still alive and at our hospital.
Now, I know that the Marine Mammal Center has a scientific research program that works with vets and pathologists and wildlife biologists of all kinds. So talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so with the research, it's a huge part of what we do because we have to kind of come up with preventative measures at a certain point. You just can't keep taking all the sick and hurt animals, fixing them and putting them back. You have to understand why they're getting sick in the first place. So we've got a lot of great research, and we collaborate with a lot of great organizations to really find out what's happening with the diseases and disease transmission, to come up with new ways to actually treat some of these different ailments and diseases. Last year alone, we actually were part of 22 different scientific papers that were published.
So is that as big a part of the organization's plan to work with scientists and to further the knowledge about these kind of animals? Because I'm assuming that we all think we know a lot about them, but some of these animals are still sort of mysterious, aren't they?
Oh, most definitely. One of the things that really drove me to the marine mammal field is that, for the most part, everyone loves these animals, seals and sea lions and whales. They're so charismatic. But people know very little about them, and even researchers are still trying to answer some basic questions about some of these animals because it's so tough to study them in the field. It's so tough to find where whales are going. It's such a big ocean. And then when you add in things like disease that are also really tough to figure out and things like migration patterns, it is a big undertaking. But we're trying to get as much information as possible from the animals at the hospital and working with groups out in the field to see the wild populations.
Well, all I can say to my listeners is, if you've been to the Marine Mammal Center, it has been renovated in the last few years. It's really worth another trip. If you've never been there, take the kids. There's something for everybody there. There's a youth volunteer program and a regular volunteer program. The hours are 10 to 5, 7 days a week. Admission is free. The docent-led tours do have a small fee, but they're certainly worth it. The phone number to contact the Marine Mammal Center is 415-289-7325. The address is 2000 Bunker Road, Sausalito, and the website is marinemammalcenter.org. If you do come across a sick or injured animal, call 415-289-SEAL, S-E-A-L. And Adam Ratner, thank you very much for the work you do out there, and continued success to you and to the Marine Mammal Center.
My pleasure, Mitchell. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Adam Ratner, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer anytime at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. And if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So until next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.